this lesson this morning, since this was kind of a one-time deal, it's kind of like last Sunday morning's lesson, kind of a one-time deal, and it was a little bit for Joe McLean, the guy that's been visiting here, and that's why I was wishing he was here. But this morning we're going to talk about something that is so common in the popular press, in schools, in you know, you see it in TV and radio, and of course that's about where man came from, and especially about men and apes. This goes back, especially back in the 60s, there was a book written called The Naked Ape, and it was about man. And a quote from that, I think, will get us started this morning, and we'll see some, I think, some very interesting things before we're through. The guy that wrote it was Desmond Morris. He was from England, and this is a quote from one of his from that book. There are 193 living species of monkeys and apes. 192 of them are covered with hair. The exception is a naked ape, self-named Homo sapiens. And that kind of gives you the thrust of what the whole book was about. Of course, back in the 60s, it was a big deal, covered by, you know, Time and all the others. Reader's Digest even had a, what do they call it, the condensed versions or whatever of it, and that type of thing. And that's one of the main issues with evolution, is that men evolved from apes. And some evolutionists will try and get around that by saying that men and apes have a common ancestor. Well, that's really not true. I mean, evolution teaches that men did come from some type of an ape, whether it was a monkey or an ape, or, you know, they kind of try and make differences between them, but they are the same. And if you read a lot or hear a lot of evolutionists speaking, they will make those statements about how men evolved from apes, some type of an ape. And of course, they have all kinds of differences about what this particular ape looked like, and the stages it went through, and all that type of thing. But that is a real issue. One of the main principles of evolution is that men evolved from apes. And what we're going to look at this morning is what are the similarities and differences between men and apes? Because the reason that evolutionists teach that men came from apes is the alleged similarities between them. And certainly when you look at apes, there are certain things that are similar to people, to men, but we're going to see this morning that the differences are great. Yes.
Unfortunately, you look around and see some people, they're not fully evolved.
Yep, that's true. And we're not exactly sure where they are on that timeline. One of the main teachings of this is that when things are similar, they must have some same origins. In other words, because there are some similarities between men and apes, then therefore they must have had a similar origin. They must have came from something. And this has to do, evolutionists call it morphology. In other words, it's the body shapes and the forms and the structures. That's what the idea of morphology is. And a lot, of course, has come about in the past 10 years anyway, from DNA and mapping the human genome and all of that, and showing how similar men and apes are from that standpoint. And if you just read that without reading a lot of other things, you would get the idea that men and apes are very, very closely related. Well, if you look at just DNA and genes and so forth, were related to a lot of other things too, very, very closely. One of them might surprise you, because one of the ones we're closest to genetically are ferns. And if you take, this is the absolute truth. If you take just genetics and you compare them, then we're almost as similar to ferns as we are to apes. Now, most of us don't look much like ferns. I've seen some people's hair that look a little bit like ferns, but other than that, but you will notice, and you'll never see this in Time or National Geographic talking about how closely we are related to ferns, because no evolutionist teaches that men came from a plant. So because it doesn't fit with that evidence, then it's never discussed. But yet it's just as true as the parts about apes are concerned. So that's one thing that they don't like to hear. They only want to hear publicly and in print things that agree. They don't want to hear about all the things that disagree. And that's why you'll never see TV shows or things in those type of magazines that disagree with Darwin's theory of evolution. You just won't see it because they only want to show what they want to show, which is very similar to what we call propaganda. You know, when you don't show both sides of an issue, that's basically what you're doing is you're propagandizing some particular idea. So, some of the ways in which men and apes are similar and which they are different. This is one. Pardon?
A lot of them running around out there that didn't make the grade.
Yeah. That's right. They didn't. Not even close. The first one, and this is the one that you hear an awful lot about on TV and in books and so forth, is about how men and apes move. Yes. Yeah.
That they were.
Yeah.
That some of the things that they professed, they basically, anybody other than white people were inferior.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that was the philosophy that those people had. So we can see where racist people today, yeah. I mean, and even different things that they did, as well, one phrase that's got that summed up the new religion, science.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, in a sense, that's what.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true.
Because they explored and mapped things ahead, and but still going with the preconceived idea that we're superior to anybody you come across.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big idea and a big point that in Darwin's Origin of Species was that there were favored races. Some races were better than other races, and. You know, if you believe that, then all kinds of things can happen as a result of it. Absolutely.
What I'm really thinking, you profess what you believe in, basically what they do.
Yeah.
They've got this idea, this is how things are. And so, and it's amazing to me that this long after Darwin, that now it's more accepted than it was at the time he was there. You know,
Right.
People scoffed at him, whatever, not today. You know, we're teaching at colleges, universities. Yep.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. And that's one thing you can never, you know, in colleges and universities today, you can talk bad about the government, you can talk bad about religion, you can talk bad about everything, but you cannot talk bad about evolution. I mean, that's like the one thing you are never allowed to talk and degrade or anything. I mean, you can do any of those other things, and that's fine, but you cannot touch evolution. Yes.
I told you about the thing that no intelligence requires some of Ben Stein.
Yeah, right.
Several college professors have been fired from their jobs at university because they even mentioned divine creation. Not taught it.
Yeah.
They mentioned that was an alternative, and they were fired because they actually mentioned it in classes.
This just happened. A few months ago, University of Kentucky, they were looking for a new biology professor there at the university. And one of the guys that applied was a creationist. But he was incredibly, he was the most well-qualified of any of the people that were there. Well, the head of the search committee for the university wanted to hire him. But none of the biology professors wanted him. They were just attacking him in every way, form. And so he didn't get the job. And that was the reason. This just happened a few months ago before the start of this last academic year. So it happens all the time. And again, evolution is the sacred cow in academia right now. Like I said, you can attack any idea, concept, person, race that you want, but you cannot ever say a single thing bad about evolution. I mean, that is the sacred cow, and you just can't do it. And you will not find some of the things I'm going to mention here. You will not, I mean, professors will not mention any of these things. I mean, they will not bring them up because all of these things go against their idea, and they're only going to promote evolution. I mean, that's all they're going to do. Some of them. Contrary to what you might see on TV, apes and monkeys do not walk upright. They do not walk upright, nor can they walk upright. It's impossible for them. They have, most of them can only take 2 or 3, 4 steps at a time before they have to go back down on all fours. They just simply can't do it. I mean, their morphology, their body form, you see on TV about, and especially some movies where you see apes and monkeys, walking for, almost miles on, they can't do it. It's impossible. They're not capable of their skeletal structure and their muscles and tendons and so forth. It's not capable for them to do it. The axis of the human head, in other words, how we look and see our line of sight. We stand upright in our line of sight, how our eyes are made in our head and how our skull is arranged. It is at right angles to our body. In other words, our body's like this, and our line of sight's like that. In apes, it's parallel. In other words, apes are more like dogs and cats, how their line of sight is with their body. Well, that's how apes are actually made. They're not made to walk upright because their eyes don't point forward when they're upright. It's not made that way. I mean, they're made more like animals that walk on all fours. Now, they can for a short period of time, but that's not how they can survive that way. Apes, and you've seen this if you've ever been to zoo or watched TV, apes have opposable toes. In other words, their toes are like our thumbs. They can pick up stuff with their toes. And obviously, we can't do that. Now that, if evolution were true, I would imagine having opposable toes would be a characteristic that you would want to survive, because that would be a good characteristic. But yet, if men evolved from apes, then that good characteristic was lost. Which again, you're not going to hear that because it goes against the whole idea of men evolving from apes. Our skulls, and this is one of the ways, to me it's interesting, and if you read about when they discover different skulls, they look at it and say, well, because it's this shape or that size, whatever, it was just a monkey, or if it's this size and shape, it was a human, or if there's something in between, that's one that's evolving. Well, actually, apes and humans have very different types of skulls. Our craniums are very different. Man has a large vaulted cranium. In other words, a lot of room for a brain. Apes do not. Apes are actually almost flat. And if you've ever looked at kind of some skulls of apes, you see how flattened they are, where man's are entirely different. The human nose has a prominent bridge, and if you've seen, apes' nose, it does not have a prominent bridge at all. Man's lips and apes' lips are entirely different. They're actually formed differently inside the mouth. Man's, I think, is some type of like a mucous membrane. I think that's where man's comes from. And apes don't have that type of, their lips are entirely different. Our teeth, you know, how they're formed, I don't know if you want to call it like the arch or the formation of our teeth are vastly different. Ours are shaped like a parabola, and apes are shaped like a U. In other words, ours are more like this, and the apes is like this. And that doesn't look very different. It's because I didn't draw them in the air very well. But okay, I should. That's right. So that shape is quite different. The apes' canine teeth project out, and of course, man's do not. Our spine, our vertebral column, is very, very different in between men and apes. Obviously, one of the most pronounced ones is the length of our arms. You know, considered the compared to the length of the body, the people's arms are much, much shorter than apes are, and obviously you can see that in about every type of species of monkey and ape that you can find. They're all quite different. Female apes and monkeys are very different than human females, very, very different. How they give birth is different. Their birth canal is different. The shape of their pelvis is different. All kinds of things are very different between apes and humans. And going back to the very first quote, another very obvious thing is man is the only one that is basically hairless, where all the other apes have very prominent body hair. This is one that kind of surprised me out of the whole list. Man has the greatest weight at birth in relation to his adult weight, yet at birth he exhibits the least degree of maturation. Babies, human babies, can't hardly survive at all when they're born, even though their body weight compared to the mother's body weight is quite a bit. Whereas monkeys, apes, their body weight when born is very, very small, but they have a much greater or chance of surviving. Now, if men evolve from apes, it should go the other way. Apes should be evolving from men because apes would seem to have a better characteristic because they're able to survive at a younger age than people are. Well, that would be a good characteristic. So if we're evolving, then apes would seem to have a greater advantage than people do. But you won't hear that one mentioned simply because it goes against the order of some of these things. And that's just a few. We're going to talk about some other types of differences in a minute, but those are just some things that deal with bones and body structure and our skulls and things like that. Yes.
They had the major, the cranium one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So any natives in the
right.
Ground, that was a critical point.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing there.
Mm-hmm.
To,
yeah.
You know,
that's very true.
Their heads are shaped, they're smaller, bigger, whatever than ours.
Yep.
But that was a critical point. And yeah. If at all possible, bring back any skulls that you could.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. That's very true. So those are physical things, and now here are some things that I don't know what you'd put them under, psychological or mental or whatever. Man has the ability to think about himself. In other words, to reflect about his life and make plans for the future and think about how he can make things better at home and all of that type of thing. Whereas apes, of course, don't have any of those type of abilities at all in any way. I guess the good thing about that is apes didn't come up with the theory of evolution. Men did. So I guess apes were in some way smarter than men because they didn't think about where they came from. You know, apes aren't concerned about whether people are evolving from them or they're evolving from people. They're not concerned about any of those type of things. But as I mentioned, people are able to set goals, plan for the future, work to bring all that about. You know, apes just, it's all about the present. They don't make plans. They don't set goals or do anything like that. Apes can be trained just like any animal can be trained. They can't be educated. We'll talk more about what thinking and so forth is about in a minute. But, you know, you can train dogs to do, like you can give them a signal and they'll roll over or they'll jump or something. And you can do that with apes as well. That's not educating a dog. After we've trained a dog, say the dog now is educated. Just like we don't say apes are educated. They can't think. And probably this is one of the biggest differences between men and any other living thing on the planet. And this is something that there's, you know, evolutionists have no idea how this could possibly happen. Because man is the only living thing on the planet that can think abstractly. Everything else, everything, you know, is about something that's physical that's in front of them. Like how you train a dog or how you train any type of animal. You know, if you watch them, we had a chance one few years ago to go to SeaWorld and watch them train some of the whales and porpoises. Well, those animals don't think about it. It's all about some physical object that they have to see that they're going to be rewarded with. And that's how they're trained. Whereas people are entirely different. We can think about, we can think abstractly. Like you can talk to a young girl about what a doll is. You don't have to show her a doll. I mean, you could have shown her a doll a year ago, but you don't have to bring another doll in front of her. She can think abstractly. She can understand what the concept of a doll is without having to have the doll in front of them. Well, no other living thing on the planet has that ability. And that, it, to me, is something that could never be, there's no way you could bridge that gap between something that cannot do that and something that can. But that's just a bridge that it's no way you can bridge it. Yes? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. And you could take that in, like I said, in all kinds of different ways. You know, you can, like I said, you can give give them a signal to do something, but they don't understand symbols. I mean, you can't teach an ape algebra. You can't teach an ape concepts of social thing. I mean, you can't teach them those type of things. It's impossible. Not able to do it. They can't reason or make judgments. They don't have any type of morality in the sense of what people do. Apes can't accumulate knowledge. You know, man has accumulated knowledge over the centuries and so forth and built libraries and computers and stuff. Apes aren't capable of doing any of that. Same way with art. You know, apes or any other type of animal or plant doesn't appreciate art or you know, statues or anything like that. They're not capable of appreciating those. Same way with how they look. I mean, apes aren't concerned about how they look. Rather obviously, if you look at apes very long, they're not too concerned about how they look. Man can invent things. Apes don't invent things. They can use stuff. But they can't invent things. I already talked about morality and ethics. And then religion. You know, apes don't worship anything. No living thing worships except humans. We're the only living thing that worships something. We may worship, some may worship a rock or a stone or a tree, but people worship something, whereas no animals worship anything. You know, you don't see an ape building an altar or a church building or anything like that. So men, humanity, is greatly separated. So when we talk, when people talk about how closely we're related to the apes, regardless of how close they want to say, that gap is something that's impossible to bridge. There's just no way it could ever be bridged. So we truly are God's offspring, as the Bible tells us we are. We are special. And go back to creation in Genesis 1 and 2. We are special. We're unique of all the other living things that God made. We're the only living thing that God breathed into life in that sense. We're the only thing that was given an eternal spirit like God said we have. Because when we die, remember Ecclesiastes chapter 12, our body returns to the dust, but our spirit returns to God who made us. And so we're the differences are so great that we could never have came from apes or monkeys or any type of common ancestor like that. Well, yes. Right. That's a real good point.
If like their brains didn't work, they were as smart as we are. They may not have all the knowledge available to them.
Yeah.
They were smart.
They were able to reason and think just like we can.
Constructed totally of rock, stacked, and it doesn't leak water when it rains.
Yeah. It's very true. Well, thank you very much, and Lord willing, David's going to be teaching next Sunday morning in here for a while. Thank you.